termina es un fracaso su amor.
Como la tempestad se apodera de este mar que ya no quiere la calma. Soledad, a veces me apuñala, otra me da la vida. Y con el tiempo tarde se vuelvan a cubrir de tinta mis heridas. Me quedaré esperando en el valle donde habla el ciprés. Intentaré agarrarme y permanecer libre como el ave que canta de rama en rama. La estrella que pueda mantenerme en pie, brillando en la sombra del amanecer, aún me apetece volar. Refugio otra vez entre las alas del alba. Y ahora miro como la tempestad se apodera de este mar que ya no quiere la calma. Toca gritar que somos de hierro y no nos va a doblar ni viento ni tempestad. Llena la lluvia el caudal que sigue la ley del mar, ramas de espuma y hojas de sal, y todo vuelve a brotar, y todo vuelve a brotar. Caminar me enseña a aprender del miedo, el miedo a sobrevivir. La vida empuja a buscar aliento, pa'l camino, pa'l venir, llegamos a caer, riegame del cielo, raíces de libertad, raíces de libertad. El alba recordará que no son de nadie las alas que da y nadie las puede atar. Suena tan fuerte el silencio que cada día al pasar se oye en el eco del tiempo y el alma rompe a volar. Y el alma rompe a volar. Caminar me enseña a aprender del miedo, el miedo a sobrevivir. Al camino por venir, el agua que cae riega desde el cielo, raíces de libertad, raíces de libertad. enseña a aprender del miedo, el miedo a sobrevivir y la vida empuja a buscar aliento, al camino por venir y el agua que cae riega desde el cielo. Raíces de libertad, raíces de libertad, raíces de libertad, raíces de libertad.
We'll be right back. oído y por el otro se me va. Quiero vivir la vida a libertad, que no me influya en la sociedad. Quiero bajarme de este juego al que no quiero jugar. Que no me obliguen a formar parte de la vida que los demás quieren llevar. Y procuro separarme.
Miento si digo que no siento, y el dolor que llevo dentro
en un mundo de desigualdad.
Canto, vuelo,
viajo con el tiempo y con mi soledad.
Sueño, despierto,
sufro en un mundo de desigualdad. Contemplando su belleza
y esperaré hasta que el sol se ponga
y beberé de los mares y tragaré de la tierra.
Canto, vuelo,
viajo con el tiempo y con mi soledad. Viento, llévate contigo la frialdad.
Canto, vuelo,
viajo con el tiempo y con mi soledad.
Llévame esta noche a San Fernando, y otro caminando. Suben al monte de las siete verdades. Oh, bésame, como tú sabes, como tan solo tú sabes, como tan solo tú sabes. Enséñame la foto que tienes en tu caja de galletas. Enséñame a hacer como tú haces la veleta. Llévame esta noche a San Fernando. Iremos un ratito a pie y otro caminando. Súbeme al monte de las siete verdades. Oh, bésame como tú sabes. Como tan solo tú sabes. Como tan solo tú sabes.
Saborcito moreno. Me gusta y me gusta mirar la gente que baila bonito. Me gusta y me gusta mirar la gente que baila bonito. De con el corazón alegre que se mueve al ritmo.
Del viejo abrigo, su calle, su casa, su portal de siempre, de la triste plaza. Y siempre dando vueltas a la cabeza, su corazón se dobla, a nadie interesa, siempre elegante, también perfumado, con tanta nostalgia, si estás a su lado, y vuelve loco a cualquiera con su risa y su manera, no mira atrás pensando en cómo era, no puede volver a ser como antes. Los sueños se rompen y se pierden en el aire. No puedo hacer nada por ti si no te deja guiar, ni te deja llevar por mí.
Me encanta, me encanta, me encanta, me encanta.
Cuando suena tu guitarra, cuando me canta y me baila y me encanta.
Me encanta, me encanta, me encanta.
Me gusta la melodía que sale de tu guitarra.
Cómo corre el viento, cómo pasa la vida, si sufro o si lloro, ¿cuál será la salida?
Recuerdo que se agolpan y no salen de mi mente, que sorbo tan amargo y de repente
ya no puede volver a ser como antes. Los sueños se rompen y se pierden en el aire.
No puedo hacer nada por ti si no te deja guiar, ni te deja llevar por mí.
Me encanta, me encanta, me encanta, me encanta.
Cuando suena tu guitarra, cuando me canta y me baila.
Me encanta, me encanta, me encanta.
Oye, me gusta la melodía que sale de tu guitarra.
Esta cumbia con sabor. Champancito francés, si te gusta la hierba, trae papel, un poco de gel y champú del hotel de ayer. Y escondí un regalito, un buen mantel, camisita del Che. Si tu día es amargo, me unto miel, un 2x3 de la oferta del mes y una sábana nueva de coralina. El día ya se pierde por mi ventana, no hace falta que venga fecha de gala. Tremendamente dulce y no palaga, sabor a caramelo, te espero. Con este anhelo y ni de pizza me olvide del hielo. A la maleta un amigo enero que está llegando mi cielo. Y todo deprisa y que lento el reloj. Vamos Cupido, hazme el favor, coge la flecha compadre y atina. Y saca este cuerpo de la rutina. El día ya se pierde por mi ventana, no hace falta que venga fecha de gala. Tremendamente dulce y no palaga, sabor a caramelo te espero. Loco porque vengas pa' eso y que me decores
beso, darte un bocadito en el alma sin prisa, ver cómo te baila con mi camisa, loco porque venga pa' eso, y que me decore a beso, darte un bocadito en el alma sin prisa, ver cómo te baila con mi camisa, el día ya se pierde, y no hace falta que venga, tremendamente dulce y no para sabor a caramelo te espero, el día ya se pierde, y no hace falta que venga, tremendamente dulce y no para sabor a caramelo.
Just another drink, or Just another cigarette standing on the corner of the road to no regret. The road to no regret. Before the sun has set, standing on the corner of the road to no regret, road to no regret. Oh, it's a long way to go. Put your lips together, you won't get upset. Think of any number, alphabet. Never play your cards, then you'll never lose the bet. Standing on the corner of the road to no regret, the road to no regret.
Yeah. And today, eggs. Specifically, how you can learn everything you need to know about Putin's Russia from the current egg crisis. Hello, I'm Mark Galliotti, and welcome to my view of Russia in Moscow shadows. This podcast, of varying length, frequency and format, yet always reassuringly low production values, is supported by generous and perspicacious patrons like you, and also by the crisis exercise software company Conductor. So I'm recording this on Friday the 7th of January, so happy Christmas for those who observe the Russian Orthodox calendar. It was interesting that whereas last time we had Putin very symbolically alone at midnight mass for Christmas, this time, of course, he was with families of soldiers from the special military operation, signalling always. But on the other hand, certainly no talk or promise of any kind of Christmas ceasefire. Quite the opposite. We saw further sort of tit-for-tat attacks in both directions between Russia and Ukraine on the other side's cities. So not much Christmas spirit there. Anyway, what I really want to talk about are eggs. Now, I've mentioned this in a previous podcast and then in greater length on a piece that should be appearing shortly on the Spectator Coffee House blog. But I really want to kind of expand on this whole issue of the current egg crisis with the possibly overblown thesis that everything you need to know about Putin's Russia, or at least 10 key issues, 10 key lessons, you can learn from this current egg crisis. Now, look, you may think I'm cracked, that my wits are scrambled, and to a degree I am indeed poaching from my Spectator piece. But this is no yoke. So bear with me as I whisk you into a world. I really think that's about all the oven-based puns I can possibly think of right now, which you'll probably think is quite excellent. Anyway, I whisk you into a world where eggs rose in price by over 46% last year, and in some regions it was over 50%, where there's hoarding, long queues at farmers' markets, and shops even selling single eggs. And then in the Vologda region, I think it was, a deputy in the local parliament for, obviously, United Russia, was photographed giving cartons of eggs to his staff as presents for the traditional Orthodox New Year. This may all sound a bit silly, but we should remember that although the fall of the House of the Romanovs in 1917 may well have been a long time coming, but arguably the flashpoint that really triggered the protests which really drove the eventual collapse of the regime was, of course, triggered by bread prices. So it would have been deeply ironic if another Russian autocrat had fallen to food-related protests. And this might help explain quite why the Kremlin has been moving so decisively to try and address this particular egg crisis. Indeed, on Friday, we had the investigatory committee, you know, the sort of loosely the FBI on steroids type thing, launching a probe into potential price fixing. And this follows a very sort of similar initiative by Prosecutor General Krasnov. And perhaps even more dramatically, we've got the FSB, which has been instructed to arrest egg hoarders. Now, so what? Well, this is the first of the 10 lessons. It is that the involvement of the security forces is in part a reflection of this sort of perennial feature of this very sort of personalistic and frankly almost medieval system. Everyone wants to prove to the monarch that they are busy helping fix the problem of the day. And this is why we tend to get this process time and time again, that something arises, something comes on to Putin's radar, and everyone, whether it's local governors, whether it's security apparatus, whether it's the prime minister and the apparatus of government or whatever, are scrambling to prove, actually no, that wasn't intended to be another egg-related pun, scrambling to prove that they themselves actually have some part in the solution, because they're terrified that if they don't, their rivals will outflank them. Now, on one level, this actually is in some ways a perversely useful thing. It means that a lot of the sort of bureaucratic siloing that we're used to in, you know, rational, bureaucratic, democratic Western systems, which, let's be honest, are often quite sclerotic, quite hard, you know, find it very difficult to respond to the crises of the day. But yeah, actually, you know, a lot of that breaks down in the adhocracy. That in fact, you know, people can scramble quite quickly and be more imaginative about how they respond to something. So there is, we have to recognise, an advantage. But the advantage is precisely in crisis management. What it's not, what the system isn't good at, is avoiding the crises in the first place. Again, because frankly, people do not coordinate, people regard everyone else as potential rivals, and where you are meant to have, you know, interagency negotiations, often this takes a very, very antagonistic form. So, you know, what we see here is, on the one hand, perhaps a sign of actually the strengths of the Putin system, its ability to respond to these crises hurriedly, because everyone realises, to put it bluntly, their neck is on the chopping block, potentially. But on the other hand, arguably this whole crisis is precisely because a variety of agencies, from the Ministry of Agriculture down, did not properly coordinate beforehand. So, good at crisis management, not good at crisis avoidance. But the second lesson, which is shown by the immediate involvement of the security apparatus, is precisely this, the very real fear that this crisis could easily, I'm going to have to try and think of another word to use other than crisis, could spark a wider political problem. And it was quite interesting the degree to which this was crystallised by a case at the end of December, where someone fired pot shots at the car that was carrying Gennady Shiryaev, who is the owner of the biggest poultry farm in Voronezh region, which I have no idea, I will confess, whether that's a really impressive achievement or not. I don't know how large the overall poultry holdings in Voronezh may be. I could have looked into it, but honestly, I couldn't be bothered. But anyway, he clearly is a local big shot. And the interesting thing is that this attack on him, which didn't hurt anyone, happened a couple of days after it was announced that an investigation was being opened into him, or rather his company, for alleged price fixing. Now, Shiryaev has faced controversy in the past. I mean, if one looks at April of last year, for example, he and one of his men allegedly assaulted a fellow farmer and environmental campaigner who had accused him of dumping toxic waste into the Khapyor River, which is... Well, let's be perfectly honest. I mean, it's hard for me to tell, but judging by the news accounts, it sounds as if it may well have been entirely true. But nonetheless, despite that, despite the fact that he's clearly, you know, is involved in politics, particularly in terms of United Russia, he's, I think it's his brother, who is, again, a local deputy, and other deals. Nonetheless, the police very, very quickly ascribed this incident to what they call locals dissatisfied with the increase in prices of his eggs. A constant concern of the security apparatus, after all, is that all their hard work suppressing the political opposition could be undone by economic problems. The belief is, the assumption is, that yes, people may come out onto the streets for political causes, but not most people, not most of the time, and it's relatively easier to diffuse this by targeting the specific political leaders. Whether we're talking, you know, liberals like Navalny or turbo patriots like Strelkov, Girkin or whatever. On the other hand, economic issues, economic problems, hardships like that are much more likely to create the kind of horizontal connections from which grassroots movements, ones which may well not really have leaders and the like and therefore be harder to decapitate, can emerge. And I remember a retired FSB officer once put it to me. He said, it's going to be wage arrears or food shortages that one day may bring Russians out on the streets. And then they will decide if this is a revolution of the left or the right. In other words, they come out onto the streets first because they're angry, because they're hungry or whatever. And then in some ways, from that movement emerges the politics. And whether it's ultra-nationalists who say the answer is to, you know, drive out the foreign money or whatever, or whether it's liberals who say we need to get rid of the corrupt state, in some ways that's a secondary issue. Now, what's particularly interesting is that this guy, and look, there's a distinct limit to how many FSB people I ever got a chance to talk to that I know of, did not come